This is Dory Smith with co-producer Richard Sherman. We both produce community radio at WHUS Stores at the University of Connecticut. We're joined by journalist Dar Jamail of NewStandardNews.net, an online news service. He's reporting from Iraq Tuesday morning, April 13, 2004. As we conducted this interview with Jamail in Iraq, explosions were occurring in the compound of U.S.-led coalition headquarters in Iraq. The U.S. military stands poised outside Najaf with orders to arrest or kill Muqtada al-Sadr, leader of one of the factions in Iraq, being held responsible for a brutal attack on U.S. contractors in Fallujah. During the previous portion of this interview, we discussed the U.S. military's ongoing attacks there. Jamail was there to view civilian casualties. Here he continues to describe the presence of the U.S. military outside Najaf, with orders to take al-Sadr. The Washington Post is reporting that the cleric is wanted in connection with the killing of another Shiite leader. It's unclear how many U.S. forces there are to hold cities in the Sunni Triangle. Dar Jamail.
Whoever is calling the shots up there, I don't understand their logic at all. When you have several members of IGC now, the Iraqi Governing Council, speaking out, condemning their tactics and their strategies, both in Najaf and as well as Fallujah. And these are people that the U.S. appointed themselves, and they're even speaking out against the U.S. military policy in Iraq, and yet they're going to carry ahead and go on with it anyway, of course. It's just really astounding, and Iraqis are beside themselves with anger at this point over how the military is conducting themselves in Iraq now, as well as for a long time now. So this is really an extremely worrisome news piece, and I would imagine every other foreigner still in Iraq now must be feeling the heat from this situation, because it puts all of us at that much more risk.
Dar, when President Bush last year used the expression "bring them on," he basically was criticized very roundly and publicly, especially among the families of people who had military personnel serving in Iraq. The neocons at the same time have also asserted that even though there has been a controversy over how closely connected al-Qaeda and Hussein were at any one given time, it's an indisputable fact that al-Qaeda is in Iraq. And now there's an opportunity to bring them out of the woodworks, engage them in combat, and wipe them out. And I think the commentary goes on, better that engagement occur in Iraq than in the United States. Could it be that the various kidnappings and killings of individual American soldiers was the pretext that the U.S. military saw that it was time to utilize to actually execute a policy best expressed by Bush's Bring Them On, and that they see tactically over the long run it's better to engage in more full-scale operations, military operations, for which they have a numerical and tactical superiority rather than just be targets of guerrilla warfare?
That seems like a fairly reasonable explanation of maybe why they've taken to these more large-scale operations, because going in and trying to fight against the resistance as they were basically being ground down by the resistance, just picked off one at a time, and now they can go in and at least en masse with much more firepower and conduct operations on the scale that the military is trained to do, rather than trying to act like policemen. Excuse me. So, the bring them on statement, as absurd as it is, well, I guess Mr. Bush is getting what he asked for.
Dar, I want to go back to the day that mosque was attacked, and look at where the nation Iraq stood in terms of all the cities and where the U.S. military balance of power, if you want to call it that, with the resistance was. I mean, in other words, have things been getting perceivably worse in Iraq since the bombing of that mosque? And then now we are looking at the possible invasion, attack, whatever, of Najaf, which is also a holy city. Talk about that a little bit and describe what the climate is amongst Muslims in Iraq and others there, too.
Well, that's a very good parallel, Dory, because even if there were insurgents fighting in this mosque, and personally, I believe that there probably were fighting in the mosque in Fallujah, just the fact that it was bombed, that's what people here see. It's really a horrible and difficult situation that the military is put in, because if there's someone shooting inside of a mosque shooting out at them, of course they're going to shoot at them. And that makes logical sense. But they have to understand the impact of that, of what mosques symbolize to people here, as well as what the holy city of Najaf symbolizes, which is similar to the mosque situation, except at least 10 times more sensitive. And the fact that they would even consider going into a place like this is a holy city, thousands and thousands of years old, with huge religious significance for Muslims both in and outside of Iraq, and that they're going to go in and conduct full-scale military operations there under the guise of looking for one man is really what it's going to do to the Iraqi people. I really shudder to think. And as if we see how absolutely horrendous and volatile and out of control the situation is in Iraq now, I keep wondering how much worse can it get. And then to get this news that they're considering going into Najaf, it's going to be the equivalent of how outraged Iraqis were about the mosque in Fallujah being bombed, except on a scale, you know, at least 10 times greater. People are going to be absolutely outraged. And then the simple math behind it, where there is obviously a much larger percentage of Iraqis are Shia than Sunni. And we're talking about a very predominantly Shia city in Najaf. So I really shudder to think of what's going to occur here if and when they go ahead and launch this operation. I mean, just the news of it alone is going to, watch what happens here today.
Have you been able to find out anything about Sistani's take on this? Has he been able to talk with the American forces or the coalition? Do you know?
Well, Sistani himself maintains his position of he will not speak with any American directly, least of all Paul Bremer. So he will not acknowledge, that's his way of not acknowledging that they're not the people running Iraq. He has other people and messengers take messages to and from them, but he will not speak with them directly. But he continues to take the high road politically as far as basically trying to stay out of the conflict, condemning the violence on both sides. He does not agree with Sadr's tactics at all. But at the same time, he is just as harsh in his criticism against the Americans, if not more so, condemning regularly their military operations and what's going on in Fallujah. But he's very, very, very smart man and very cautious not to go too far one side or the other. He's doing his best to keep him and his followers out of this horrendous situation.
Dar, many of the kidnappings have been directed at the nationalities that have military units inside of Iraq. Most recently, some of the units, also the military units, also stated that they were there not to engage Iraqis militarily, but to serve peacekeeping roles. Number one, is the object of these kidnapping, again, this is a little bit speculation on your part, to weaken the political resolve of the coalition members, since that militarily they don't seem to play a really significant role? Or is the United States so stretched that they do rely on the military capacity of the so-called peacekeeping troops in Iraq?
I think that's a very good point, and I think it's very much both. I think the U.S. military is stretched thin enough here now. I mean, we have soldiers pulling 24 and 48-hour nonstop shifts. I mean, that's what they have to do during heavy combat. And there is no foreseeable end to the situation here at present. So they're definitely stretched extremely thin and definitely reliant upon the other members of the coalition. And then the other aspect of that is that it's the tactic of the militias detaining, for example, the Japanese it's obviously effective. I mean, it's got people in Japan. It's an extremely difficult political situation there now because the government is, and particularly the prime minister, is facing severe criticism. People are pleading en masse for him to pull the forces out of Iraq because they never wanted him to send them here in the first place. It was basically a unilateral move. It was most people in Japan were against it. And now with this situation, and who knows what has happened to these three prisoners now, people are outraged, and they want them out. They didn't want them here to begin with. So it's obviously a pretty effective political strategy, as horrendous as it may be.
Darj Mail is Baghdad correspondent for NewStandardNews.net, an online news service. You can read his reports and find his blog at NewStandardNews.net. I'm Dori Smith with co-producer Richard Sherman. We produce community radio at WHUS Stores, the University of Connecticut. For further information about this program, write to me at rcrradio@aol.com. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or the University of Connecticut.